Let us pray. O Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might love and our hands that we might serve. And take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. When was the last time you opened your morning paper and saw a full-page ad calling you to a life of poverty? It might read as follows: too rich, burdened with too much money, do you have too much good food, does everyone love you? We have a perfect solution. We will show you how to achieve poverty, hunger, and persecution. Doesn't sound too inviting, does it? But what we hear in today's gospel seems to indicate that that is what Jesus is asking us to do. He seems to be saying that these things are good, and that if we are poor, hungry, persecuted, we will gain our heavenly reward. But how can poverty be good? And how can being hungry and being persecuted lead to heaven? We say poverty is okay for St. Francis or Mother Teresa or for thousands like them. They choose it freely, and it was their personal response to Jesus' love. But for the father or mother of a family struggling to feed, clothe, and educate their children, poverty is not only not good, it is an evil to be avoided, if not eradicated. No one on this earth should be deprived of sufficient food to sustain life and promote health and growth. But we know this very night, millions of people throughout the world, especially children, will go to sleep hungry, and some will eventually die of starvation. So how are we to understand Jesus' words? Just who is he talking to? What message was he trying to give? In today's gospel, Jesus is addressing the people on the plain, the poor, the persecuted, the ill-fed, the ill-clothed. These were people with little hope in their future. So they came to Jesus looking for solutions to their problems. They came looking for hope and comfort. And that was his message that day on the plain. He gave them exactly what they needed. But what they needed was not what they came for. They came for worldly solutions, not spiritual ones. Jesus knew most of his listeners would never escape poverty, no matter how hard they tried. Just as there are millions of people that will not escape it. He knew that the hunger and persecution and sadness would always be with them in their worldly lives. But what he was offering to the people on the plain that day is what he offers to us, is peace and joy beyond this life. He's saying, don't be concerned with what the world gives you. I am here to show you the way to the Father. This was the hope that he offered. But hoping in something that cannot be seen is difficult. In our now culture, perhaps hope is the least considered of the three virtues of faith, hope, and love, because we don't have time for hope. We want instant results. Heaven is where we want to end up, but we want our physical needs taken care of right now, today. We don't want to be hungry. We don't want to be poor. And of course, we don't want to be persecuted. So what is Jesus asking of us? I believe he's asking us to be patient and to look beyond our present state, and to understand that the kingdom of God is always in process. We who are gathered here this morning may not be starving or homeless or face persecution, but we all seek something more than we presently have: a bigger house, nicer car, more money, better health for ourselves and our loved ones. We never seem to be satisfied with what we have. We always seem to want more. The best commentary on Jesus' sermon is Jesus' own life. Jesus did not live his life as if he was blessed by the Father. He lived his life in the constant awareness that God did indeed bless him. In his earthly life, he experienced poverty, not only the poverty of deprivation, but the poverty of standing alone against the crowds, the poverty of total reliance on the Father. He experienced hunger, not just the hunger that can be answered by bread, but the hunger that can only be satisfied by doing what's right. He had reason to weep and mourn, not only for the loss of a dear friend, but at the lost opportunities of his own people. The Beatitudes are not prescriptions for becoming poor or hungry or mournful or afflicted. They are addressed to those who are already involved in committing themselves to God's way, and they give us direction of what happens when His way is followed in this broken world. They speak of a variety of experiences that people go through as a result of getting involved in God's way of doing things. And if we follow His way, we know that God can handle the poverty, the hunger, the tears, the rejection. The promise is that God handles all these things, lifting His people out of them. That is the good news. God is not committed to keeping His people at a level of being hurt and wounded. If that were true, the Beatitude might read, "Blessed art those who weep, for they will weep even more." The vision of God of the Beatitudes is the vision of a generous God, one who reverses tragedy. But when we see the rich get their wealth off the backs of the poor, we begin to think, whose side is God on? The Beatitudes make it quite clear God stands with the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and persecuted. "Woe to you who are filled now." He was directing his words to the people on the plain, but aren't we also filled, also comfortable and satisfied? Do we hide from the poor, the hungry, the weeping, the persecuted? Jesus was calling his disciples to open their eyes and ears and stop ignoring the needs of the poor. He is also calling us, who are comfortable and satisfied, to open our eyes, ears, and hearts to those in need. In today's world, many people suffer economic setbacks. This was especially true after the recent 35-day government shutdown. Thousands of lower-ranked government employees were put in severe financial stress because their families lived from paycheck to paycheck. When the paycheck stopped, many were forced to borrow, choose between paying rent or medicines, miss a mortgage payment, choices that had no real solutions. When Jesus blessed the poor, he had people like this in mind. How did you feel about these marginalized people? If you're anything like me, you probably felt concern. But if it didn't affect me directly, my life went on. Let me offer you a bit of a confession this morning. During the shutdown, I can remember Angie and I driving to Canaveral National Seashore with the hope of spending an afternoon on the beach and feeling disappointed that the gate was down and we were unable to enter because of the shutdown. not once thinking about those whose paychecks that were stopped, but only of our inconvenience. Jesus' words today may have made us aware of changes we need to make in our lives and how we pay better attention to the needs of the poor and marginalized. We do not have to do that on our own because we gather together in worship, strengthened by the word we have heard Jesus address to his disciples and those on the plain. So we will stand with one another at the altar. We who hear the Beatitudes today and receive the meal God has prepared for us are given the grace to become a Beatitude people, easily recognized in this world as disciples of Jesus. Let us pray today that as we receive that meal, we will have the strength to share some of our comfort with those in need of it. Amen.